We're going to continue on with our journey with Jesus. And this story is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And how many people know that if it's in three or more Gospels, you probably should pay attention to it, right? Because it was important to not just one man who wrote it down. It was important to three, okay? And so we're going to actually read, Shelley. Where's the Matthew? I guess we're going to look at it in Luke. Oh, I can use this Bible. Sorry, in the Chronicle Bible that I'm using, it's really hard to find your passage. So unless you look it up ahead of time, because it's all in different order. But it's great when you're doing a chronological study. Okay, so we're going to actually look at Matthew 10, as I liked the wording in this one when I was going over it this morning a little bit better. Matthew 10, and it's starting in verse 5. Then these 12, Jesus had just announced who the 12 disciples were. These 12 he sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you preach, go saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, silver, nor copper for your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food." Now, there's a slight variation in each one of the texts, but all of them say the same thing in this verse 9. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your belts. Now, first I thought, wow, he's being really specific about what not to take. But then I looked it up and I realized these were the three different forms of financial exchange in those days. And so it's kind of like he was saying, don't take your cash, don't take your card, don't take your checks. He was kind of covering all the different methods that you could possibly pay for something. And he says, don't take any of those on your money belt. Their money belt was a sash that they wore around their waist that was a sash, but it was also a place that they could keep their money. So he's saying, make sure that your load is light. Don't take a bunch of extras. And then some versions of verse 10, it says not to take a bag for your journey or two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff. And some of them say, don't take a robe and don't take sandals. And the commentators all said the same thing. Jesus wasn't telling them to run around with no shoes and no shirts. That wasn't the point. He was telling them, only take the sandals you have on and only wear the tunic that you have on. Don't take extras. Again, we're going light. We're traveling light. And then he says, this is the important line. For a worker is worthy of his food. Food in this section is translated wages, food, or what is earned by those who have done the job. What was their jobs? Does anybody remember what I read through? What were these 12 disciples' jobs? What was that? Raise the dead. Preach. Some other things. Lay what? Lay hands on the sick. Heal them. The Lord's saying, what you do for these people I'm sending you to, if you're doing the work I'm telling you to do, is going to make you worthy of your wages. You, in other words, you will be taken care of. So if you begin something, the Lord gives you a vision or a dream of something, kind of like he did for me with this women's conference, then when you do your work, then he's going to provide supernaturally. You're not going to have to take a bunch of extra offerings. You're not going to have to take a bunch of extra stuff. You're not going to have to add worry and concern. You go do the work he's called you to do, and guess what? You will be worthy of your wages. So I was really excited about this. I mean, I thought this is really powerful, right? Well, it gets even better, because this is kind of like they didn't have the end result, but we do. So flip over really quick to Luke 22 and verse 35. And it's kind of a hidden little verse when Jesus is talking to Peter and he's telling him how he's going to be sifted as wheat. And he says, no, Lord, I'm going to go with you, even if it's to prison. And the Lord tells him that, you know, he's going to deny him before the rooster crows. But listen to this. Right in the middle of a thing, he says, then Jesus asked them, who's them? He's with the disciples, right? He asked them, when I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything? And this is their answer, nothing. How awesome is that? It's not like we just read the story and, wow, I wonder how it all turned out. No, he tells us how it all turned out. So this is so exciting for us as believers. If you are doing your job, and the Lord says, in everything that you do, do it unto the Lord. So you may have a work environment. Maybe you work for yourself. Maybe you, however you make your income, right? You don't really work for those people. You work for who? The Lord. So even if your boss at work is terrible, even if the circumstances and situations around your job feel like they're out of control and you want to go and just be a pain in the rear to those people, beware. You don't work for them. In everything that you do, work as if you're working unto the Lord. And if you do your job and you do it unto the Lord and you do it, you do what you're supposed to do, guess what's going to happen? Will you lack anything? No. You will lack nothing. You should be shouting right about now because this should set you free. You don't work for your job. They are not your provider. They are not your source. Your God is your source. I remember a couple years ago, Richard was working at a trucking company. They hadn't given out raises in years. Years. But Richard knew he didn't work for his boss. He worked for the Lord. And the boss came into work one day and he was like, Richard, come in here. And he's like, man, all weekend long, I just kept hearing this over and over and over in my head. Give Richard a raise. Give Richard a raise. Give Richard a raise. Give Richard. He said it drove me nuts. I couldn't wait to get in here until Monday morning to tell you, Richard, you get a raise. Nobody else in the company got a raise. Only Richard. Do you know why? Because he does his job. His heart is he goes to work. I've heard him talk about it before. He puts his praise music on. He said, I figure I don't work for this company. I do my job as unto the Lord. I'm a tither and I'm a giver and the Lord will take care of me. Will you lack anything? No. A worker is worthy of his wages. This is why it's so important that you understand the whole Bible and the whole context. I remember as a teenager that there was a phase that the church went through where I just have to believe and the Lord will do all the work. I don't have to go to my job. Does anybody remember that those years? And people quit their jobs and they just sat home and prayed. You don't work, the Bible says, you don't eat. We had a lot of skinny Christians back then, right? But do you see my point? It's important to know, yes, faith is absolutely important with your finances. Every time you write your tithing check, that's faith right there. You're saying, I'm believing, Lord, that I don't need 100% of my income. I can live on 90. I trust you. I trust you. That is faith, right? But then we still have faith when we say, and I don't care how lousy this job is, Lord, I don't care what the people say around me, I am going to go and I'm going to do my work as unto you. Boy, that changes your perspective. You go into work and, wow, you got to watch your P's and Q's and make sure that you're not, you know, maybe fudging a little bit here and there because you don't work for your boss anymore. It's not like you're going to get something past God. He sees everything, right? So all of a sudden, your working is going to influence the people around you. Why are you so happy? Why do you always have to do everything by the book? Can't tell you how many times I've heard that in my life. Why, Shelley? Why do you have, it's just a little thing. It's not. I don't work for these people. I work for the Lord. I surely don't want to answer to him. I don't want to have to explain to him why I put on my time card that I worked an extra half an hour. No. And you know what happens when you work like that? You might start here, but this happens. You go up and up and up and up. You get favor. You get blessing. Why? Because your Father wants to bless you because you are worthy of a worker's wages. Sometimes in our lives we'll have things happen and it'll seem like in the natural, man, I got cheated. I got cheated. Do you know when you serve the Lord and you give your tithes and you give your offerings, they can't cheat you. They might think they can, but they cannot cheat you because your God will take care of it. It is so freeing when you understand and grasp this concept. He sent them out, and he told them, don't take anything with you. Don't take any extras. I got this. I got this. What was he saying? Trust me. Trust me, guys. Trust me in this. But he was also saying to them, I trust you to go do your work. I trust you to go do what I've told you to do. It's a two-way street. And the Lord's saying that today. Can I trust you? Can I trust you today? Because if you'll go out and you'll do your job and you'll do your life as unto me and work for me, when the question is asked of you, do you lack anything? You're going to be able to say, nope, nothing. Amen? Wasn't this an exciting one? No wonder all three guys wrote it down, right? Because this is so powerful. And I'm really appreciative of Luke that he gave us the end result so that we could see what happened on that trip that they all took. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just first of all thank you as a church that we had a women's conference and it is paid for. Woo! Hallelujah! We thank you and we praise you for that. That we had fun and we were able to give away gifts and do crafts and have food, and it was just an awesome special time. And as pastors, we don't have to freak out and panic about where are we borrowing from to pay that. That's not happening. And again, Lord, that reminds us that when we do our work unto you and we do what you've called us to do, you provide. Woohoo! So we thank you in advance, all the girls and I, that next year we're going to be in the Black Pearl and be able to have a beautiful river view as we worship you and hang out as girls. We thank you for that in advance, Lord. Paid for, even before we get there. Paid for in Jesus' name. And we just praise you for this word today. Father, I pray if any of us in this room need to be reminded that we're working for you, then Holy Spirit, convict us. Because we don't want to stay in the world system. We want to be in your system. And so, Father, I just thank you that if corrections need to be made, correct us. And we just thank you that once we're corrected, we're forgiven, we move on, then help us to be the best worker at our jobs. Help us to just shine your light and be a testimony to everyone around us. Let people say, what is up with you? And then we can testify, I don't work for this boss anymore. I work for Jesus, and he's a good boss. And Lord, I just praise you and I thank you that every need is provided for every member in this church that works unto the Lord, that they will be worthy of the wages, worthy of the food, worthy of the provision that a worker deserves. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for touching everyone's finances today. We thank you for more than enough to give to every good work. We praise you and we thank you, Father, for exceedingly and abundantly above, pressed down, shaken, and running over, so that we can give and give and give and give, so that when people see us, they see Jesus. We just praise you, Father, for it today. Bless every seed that is sown. In Jesus' name, amen. As Randy's taking the tithes and offerings, I just wanted to, the Lord reminded me of one quick thing I wanted to share with you today about the conference that we did. We stayed at the hotel that we stayed at when we did our church retreat. And when I went to meet the guy on Friday afternoon to start setting up, he looked at me kind of funny. And I said, hi, John. And I remembered him right off the bat because he was the same desk guy that was there before. And He said, I remember you. He's like, you're with that church, and you gave all of us a tip. And he was like, and we talked about it for weeks. It was the craziest thing. Who does that anymore? I said, well, we do. And he's like, well, it really, really was amazing that you did that. And I remembered. So we were leaving, and of course, we had done the same thing this time. We had blessed the people that are working and serving, and he was one of them. And so he was so funny. I was headed out the door to leave, and he goes, Shelly, you did it again. And I said, yeah, John, you served us again. And he's like, well, you come stay again, but you don't have to do this every time. But he remembered. And that's the point, is you're a representative of the Lord. And when the Lord tells you to give or to do something, do it. It made an impact on his life, and it blessed him. So every time he hears about Redeemed Church, he's going to think about the gift he was given, which is going to make him think about, what kind of church is that? That's a very cool church. And maybe the one thing that turns him around that brings him back to church. Amen? Amen.
Good morning. And just another thought on the offering messages. I listened to our service online last week, and Shelly's just so wonderful in her heart for giving and receiving, and so anointed for that. And I realized I and everybody else, we missed a place to shout last week because the word debt cancellation came out. And I thought, man, that was my opportunity to go, amen, praise the Lord. And this morning, same thing. I want us all just to give a great big shout to Jesus. A thank you, Lord, for supernatural debt cancellation. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Yes, for debt cancellation. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I have to watch so that I don't miss opportunities like that to get to just say something, right? Amen. And so God is so good. Let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your heart, what your spirit is saying to us today. And we just rejoice in it. We thank you for it. We praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to do a couple of weeks. You know, we're kind of heading into election season again. And there's a message that I want to do probably 2 weeks on, Faith for Our Nation. And Eagle Mountain Church, Kenneth Copeland Ministries really inspired this in me. And it's all God, amen. In fact, this is actually one of the titles they use for some of their broadcasts. And I posted something on Facebook this morning. They have a broadcast called America Stands that is a great place to plug in and hear current events, you know, in terms of how the Bible applies to things. How many know it's good to use the Bible, you know, rightly dividing the Word of God? And the Word of God should affect, like I heard some of the ladies sharing, in essence today, the Word of God should apply to every area of our lives, right? And that includes how we vote and who we vote for and issues that cause such strife and controversy in our nation. There really is no controversy in the body of Christ about certain things. Amen. Like Shelley said, we're by the book. Somebody say, I live by the book. And this is the book we live by. Amen? So it doesn't mean we hate people. It doesn't mean you're hating on this or hating on what we do hate on sin. Amen? We do hate on unrighteousness. We do hate on sickness and disease and poverty and all these things. It doesn't mean we hate people. No. But we cast down the devil and exalt the name of Jesus. Amen? And I see, you know, as my job as pastor is not just to be everybody's buddy and bring messages that just, I want everyone to like me. And honestly, this kind of message today, I would probably be voted out or fired for what I'm about to preach to you today in many places, not this place. But this is, I think, one of the reasons why we are an independent church, non-denominational, praise God. And I am open to correction from the Holy Ghost. I pledge that to you as the people of this church, that I am open to God correcting me any time of the day he wants to do it. But when he puts a word in your pastor to share, he's going to share it because I work for him first. Amen? Even if that were to mean I come in someday and there's a cricket in the room, nobody else. I don't care. Amen? because I got one customer to please. And his name is Jesus. Amen. And but if we follow the leading of the Lord, he's going to take us to places that are amazing and touch lives that you never dreamed you'd touch and see things you never dreamed you'd see. Amen. And do things you'd never dreamed you'd do. Praise the Lord. So we're going to get into this. Amen. And our foundation text for this, Faith for Our Nation, is Psalm 33 and 2 Timothy 2. And I have in your notes there, does anybody need a copy of the notes? You can lift your hand and Luke can bring some up if you do. We all got one? Okay, good. So, blessed is the nation. Say this out loud. Psalm 33, 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. And then the CEV version, the complete English version, says it this way. The Lord blesses each nation that worships only, somebody say only, that worships only him. He blesses his chosen ones. Now, that pretty much to me sums it all up. Sometimes you find a verse that just sums it all up, right? And I'm going to turn this on so you can see my face. So you can see my eyes. In other words, I ain't hiding from you, okay? I'm not hiding behind the pulpit. I'm like Karen, I'm going to be bold about this. Bold in love, okay? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So I guess we could also say this. Cursed is the nation whose God is not the Lord. Now, did God curse that nation? No. But that's the alternative. Because you see, he's the blesser. So if I don't choose the blesser, I get the curster, if that's a word, right? The curser, the devil, amen. So this is not rocket science. And I know a lot of folks out there are clamoring about, you know, avoid the strife. Well, we do. We come to Jesus. But Jesus also, I believe my Jesus said, I don't come just to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. I think there's a scripture or two that we've looked at even the past few weeks talking about sheep and goats. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I choose to be a sheep in the flock of the great shepherd. Amen. So blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Somebody say, that's me. That's me. Now, as we vote, as the church votes for the people that God wants to be in office, that affects the course of the entire nation, doesn't it? Amen? So if somebody votes somebody in that is anti things that the Word of God says we should have, amen? Now you, with faith in Jesus, you're covered, you're blessed, and we got to still pray for those leaders, no matter who they are, amen? We're going to get to that. But how great it would be, how great it is, when the righteous rule. Amen? How great it is when somebody who puts the life of an unborn baby, for example, before their career, before their prestige, before their bottom line. Amen. Hallelujah. But how many believers I'm talking about? The church. I'm not preaching to the world here, okay? We have to lower our expectations of the world. But how many members of the body of Christ just vote any old way they want, however it affects, you know, the organization they're with, or however it affects their, the business field that they're in, however it affects what this or that. They don't even consider the Word of God. Whatever Hollywood says, whatever the movie star, the rock star, the professional athlete, whatever the news is saying, just vote that because that must be true. Somebody say, buy the book. Amen. We vote by the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 says this. Therefore, I exhort first of all, somebody say first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. Somebody say, he wants all men to be saved. And of course, that includes women, right? And to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants everybody to be born again, but is everybody born again? No, but those of us who are born again should act like we're born again, shouldn't we? And that includes in the voting booth. So we need to do what? We need to be smart sheep. We need to be smart sheep. Next week, I'm going to talk about a few more of the issues and what the Word says about certain issues. Amen? We're not going to spend a ton of time on it, but it's a good brush up. Hallelujah, right? So let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up all men and all those who are in authority, from the White House to my house. In Jesus' name, we pray, God, that you bless them with peace, that you bless them with health, that you bless them with wisdom, God, that you'd help all leaders, even whether they're Republicans, Democrats, Republicrats, Demopublicans, whatever else they might be, Lord, that you'd help them to be saved, to know Jesus as their Lord, and to live accordingly, even at work, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, that you would continue to touch and minister to our nation and use our nation as a light to the world to get this gospel preached. We apply this, Lord, over Israel too, in Jesus' name, and over all the nations of the earth, God, that you would add and subtract from leaders across the face of the earth as you see fit, that you would favor men and women who favor your righteous cause. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm talking from the White House to Boy Scout leaders, Little League coaches, teachers, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Something happened right there. See, we prayed it. We're praying and staying in prayer for our nation. Praise the Lord. But all this stuff in regards to President Trump is unacceptable, church. The stuff that's on the news, the stuff that's coming out of famous people's mouths, there needs to be a respect and a reverence for the office of the President of the United States. I don't care if it's Barack Obama or Bill Clinton or George Bush or Ronald Reagan or George Washington or Donald J. Trump. We pray for them. We respect the office. We lift them up before God. But I'll tell you what, Mr. Trump, Donald Trump is my president, and I am very pleased with him. As a pastor, I'm saying this. I am pleased with what I'm seeing and hearing from him. If what he tweets bothers people, goodness gracious, don't follow him on Twitter. We need to separate, church, the personality from policy. Amen? If you don't like the guy, you should forgive him and love him and pray for him. First of all, does anybody in this room know him personally? No. Right? So my responsibility is to love the man, pray for the man, lift him up, intercede for him. But I can know him by what I'm seeing him do to a certain degree. You understand? Right? And I'm telling you this, I am pleased with what the man is doing. And I've had some job, not a ton of full-time jobs. I tend to stick with what I'm doing. But I can't remember any job I've ever had, maybe you have, in my whole life, where my job, my full-time job, I'm going to walk out here because I feel bold. My full-time job has never been get the boss fired. What is that? What a waste of taxpayers' money for somebody to spend all their time trying to come up with stories, come up with allegations, come up with issues to tear down the President of the United States and get him fired. Now, the world, again, we need to lighten up on the world. The world is the world. But I know there's Christians out there doing this. There's people in both parties that claim to be born again that say, well, yes, I believe that, but this is my job here. So I have to do this. No, no, no. Somebody say, no, 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 no. No, no, no. You need to be one thing. Be born again. Make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, I chose the subtitle, Hail to the Chief. There's a song, a march song, when the president enters the room, Hail to the Chief. And here's the words are hard. I looked it up on Wikipedia. The words are never really sung to it, but here they are. Hail to the chief we have chosen for the nation. Hail to the chief, we salute him one and all. Hail to the chief as we pledge cooperation in proud fulfillment of a great noble call. Yours is the aim to make this grand country grander. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? This you will do, that is our strong, firm belief. Hail to the one we selected as commander. Hail to the president. Hail to the chief. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, there should be one voice coming from the church. Amen. And that's where we're going. Amen. But I want you to look at this. I went through it. There's a timeline you can look up on promiseskept.com of everything that has happened from his inauguration to today. And there's too many of them to share all. The stuff he's done for the military. The stuff he's done in terms of not letting international bullies bully us. Right? It's too many things to get to. But these jumped out at me. Amazing things. Okay, so here we go. I'm just going to read them out, and we're going to pray and say amen. All right? So January 23rd, 2017, President Trump reinstated an expanded Mexico City policy blocking foreign aid from being used for abortions. Amen. That sounds like the guy I want to vote for. Again. Amen. February 22nd, 2017, President Trump evokes Education Department's order that public schools allow gender-confused males access to girls' restrooms and locker rooms. That sounds like a guy I voted for and will vote for again. March 6, 2017, President Trump signs order protecting the nation from foreign terrorists' entry into the U.S. That sounds like a guy I voted for and I'll vote for again. Now, I'm not here telling you who to vote for. This is a free country. But I can tell you who I voted for. And we'll vote for again. Amen. April 13, 2017. President Trump signs bill to allow states to redirect Planned Parenthood funding. Glory to God. That sounds like a guy I voted for and will vote for again. May 4th, 2017. That happens to be the National Day of Prayer. Okay, President's executive order signed on promoting free speech and religious liberty. In other words, they can't come in here and shut me down and take away my tax exemption because I'm saying homosexuality is a sin. Or because I'm saying President Trump is awesome. Amen. Somebody say freedom. Amen. That was called the Johnson Amendment that he reversed. Hallelujah. July 26, 2017, President Trump donates second quarter salary to the Department of Education. We're talking about a man who's not even taking a salary. Every quarter, he donates his salary to a different branch of the government. I chose this one because he had just shut down something the Department of Education was doing, and I can't tell you how many times Shelley and me had to intervene at our schools because teachers were publicly denouncing President Trump, as part of their lesson plan, just nonchalantly dashing him. Don't you know the man donated something to your salary, teacher? Watch who you don't muzzle the ox, it's treading out the grain, amen? He's on your side, teacher. Hallelujah, right? I mean, this is an amazing thing God is doing through this man, right? September 21st, 2017, U.S. household wealth, now I forgot to put the word increases by $1.7 trillion to a record $96.2 trillion. Guys, when the righteous rule, the nation rejoices. This is a reflection, a result of a righteous leadership. That is not a coincidence. That's not an accident. That's the result of the righteous ruling. The other side wants to take away freedoms. Just give us all of your money. Give us the borders. Give us, now, hear this, church. If there's no, first of all, there's borders in heaven. Not everybody's getting into heaven, right? if there's no border on this nation, guess what? Guess where they're going toward next? Your backyard. You don't own nothing. We own it. You work for us. But it's okay. It's for your protection. That's not the United States I know. Amen? It's not biblical, right? So praise God. So when you see financial stuff happening in the positive, that's generally a sign that God is doing something great. That right decisions are happening. Spiritual things will always be reflected by the natural, whether positive or negative. Amen? That's why our voting, church, is so, so vital. Because your vote is your seed. You will reap what you sow. So if I'm voting for somebody that's pro-abortion, then the blood is on my hands. You're an accomplice to murder. Yikes, man, that's heavy. Or you could repent. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to people that might hear this later. But this is why we pray and we vote. Amen? So here we go. December 6th, 2017, President Trump recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Significant. Nations that favor Israel are blessed. Read the Bible. Nations that hate Israel are cursed. Period. So, you know, in however many years it is down the road when other nations, Iran, Syria, whatever, come to wipe Israel off the planet, and they're using planes that were donated by the United States. Yikes. Yikes. Amen. So we're blessed to have a president who was man enough to do what's right. Amen. December 25th, 2017. We're still in his first year here, guys. We're still in the first year. And I literally couldn't write them all down. December 25th, 2017, President Trump brings Christmas back to the White House. Go figure. Hallelujah. Honoring Jesus in the White House. Well, it's a government building. So? It's my house. I live here right now. Amen, right? I love God. Gonna have Christmas. Praise the Lord. I love these kind of things because I remember him saying this when he was running for office. I'm going to bring Christmas back. And I remember him saying, I'm going to pave roads. We're going to get new highways. Has anybody driven through a new highway? Oh, Lord, yes. I'm going to build new airports. I was in New Orleans. We were in New Orleans. Funky airport, man. This stenchy. And we glanced out across the tarmac, brand new airport opening in 6 months. Promise made, promise kept. These things are reflective of a righteous leadership. Now, he's a human being. He's not Pastor Trump. He's President Trump, okay? But the man is anointed. Look at anybody you want to pick out through the Bible. They had issues. They had rough edges. But I'll tell you what, he the man for the job. Hail to the chief. January 18, let's jump up to another month later. January 18, 2018, President Trump is the first sitting U.S. president to address the March for Life live from the White House. Bold, bold man. Right? He's on the side of unborn children. That sounds like the same side my father's on. This isn't rocket science. Amen. Glory to God. That sounds like a guy I voted for and will vote for again. May 14, 2018, the U.S. officially opens the embassy in Jerusalem, Israel. That is so bold, declaring Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Hallelujah. That's a bold thing. Why? Because he's not middle of the road. Oh, no, the land belongs to the Palestinians and to the... No, none of that. This is Bible. This is the Word. This is their land. Hallelujah, right? As of March 15, 2019, now we're in this year, the U.S. posted nearly 7.6 million open jobs this past January, that's this year, more than 1 million more jobs than people that are unemployed. Now somebody say, that ain't an accident. That is not an accident. Hallelujah. people that want to work can work. Hallelujah. That's glorious, wonderful news. That's a turn of events. That's supernatural. Hallelujah. As of April 11, 2019, unemployment claims reach historic low, lowest since 1969. I wasn't even alive in 1969. I was close, but I wasn't here yet. I mean, wow. But do you hear any of this on the news? Any of this stuff? Do you hear anybody doing reports on this kind of stuff? No. No. There's a group of people that are focused on one thing: get him out so we can have control of this nation. This man is about giving control of the nation to you. They're about taking control of the nation from everyone. We'll take care of you from cradle to grave, provide for you. We'll give you a nickel to keep you from making a dollar. Now, they're not our enemy, but we need to see the writing on the wall, church, and take it back. Not with strife and calling people names and this kind of stuff, but by voting, right, and sharing the good word and smiling. Amen. Got time for two more before we pray? As of April 19, 2019, President Trump has successfully nominated, this is huge, successfully nominated 93 conservative judges, 54 to district courts, 37 to circuit courts, and 2 to the Supreme Court. I'll tell you what, man. Wow. How? That's, somebody say that's supernatural. That sounds like a guy that I voted for, and I'll vote for again in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat. You know why? I got an election ballot in the mail. I can't think of a time that I can remember where there was a conservative judge on the ballot in my district. How do you know? Because you can look at their website and see who's supporting them. Like, none of that. I don't even know who to write in. Jesus. You know what I'm saying? This is miraculous. And it's going to be long-lasting past his office. Glory to God. And sure, they're going to make up stories about people that are running for judges too, because they hate them. They hate righteousness. They hate what is right, and they just want to tear it down and destroy it. Everybody's this. Everybody's that. Everybody's a racist. Everybody's chasing women. No. Ain't true. Somebody say ain't true. Not everybody does that. Hallelujah, right? As of May 14, as we close 2019, there's been 5.4 million new jobs since President Trump took office. I mean, this is amazing, miraculous turnaround of events in America. But do you hear that on the news? Maybe on Fox. But Fox even at times gets into the drama and the arguing. And sometimes we got to turn it all off and just go by the book. Hear what God is saying. I do enjoy some of the things Sean Hannity has to say. I listen to him on the radio while I'm working between noon and 3. But even that sometimes gets into the, okay, you're going for ratings. But I pick up little nuggets. But here's the nugget, okay? Abortion's wrong. Homosexuality, gay marriage, transgenderism is incorrect. Right? No borders is not correct. I mean, these things are not complicated to understand. The government owning and running everything is not healthy. Hallelujah. Right? So we just rejoice in what God is doing. And I salute President Trump right now in the name of Jesus and his administration and Mike Pence and, Mr. Roberts, the Supreme Court, Jamie Herrera Butler, who's one of our representatives in Clark County. Hallelujah. And the rest of them, we just pray for them. We intercede for them. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet and just thank God. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you for the mighty works that you're doing in our nation. Hallelujah. We speak the name of Jesus over the United States. We speak the name of Jesus over the White House, the name of Jesus over Congress and the Supreme Court and every judge, over these upcoming elections, Lord God, that your kingdom come, your will be done, your people in office, and the people that aren't for you be voted out. In the name of Jesus, Hallelujah. But we pray for them all, God, whether they're for you or not. We pray for them all, God, that you touch their bodies, heal them, minister to them, help them to be saved, Lord God. And Father, we pray for the church of Jesus Christ in this world, that the church would rise up and call things as your word calls them, and vote things that your word says are right, in the name and by the blood of Jesus. We just pull the blinders off the church in the name and by the blood of Jesus, and we'll give you all the praise, and we'll give you all the glory. And God, we forgive anybody that we need to forgive. Anybody that's jumping in our head right now, I know that this kind of discussion, message, it can bring faces and words, and we forgive. I hold nothing against any man or woman in this nation or in the world. I forgive. And I receive my forgiveness today. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. God bless you, and God bless America. Have a blessed day, everybody.